The Smooth Operator Program of D.C., Maryland, and Virginia reminds drivers to always buckle up and stop aggressive driving. It's the law.
SmoothOperatorProgram.com.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Vito? What the f***?
Sal, hey.
What are you doing?
Nothing. I was here. It's a joke.
You're a
f***ing. Watch it, buddy. You f***ing watch it, cupcake. Guys, come on. It's okay.
You think so?
Sal, please. It's a f***ing joke.
Right. Sure. Say hi to your wife.
I'm serious. Yeah. Sal, please. Don't say nothing, Sal.
Too late.
The Don and Mike Show.
Too late.
He's a fag.
Yeah, he was.
The comedy stops here. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, we're thrilled to have Joe Gattascoli back on the phone. We had Joe on back when Vito was going through his time.
So excited we'd chat Sopranos because, that's what everybody's been talking about all week.
Gosh, Joe was great when we had him on before when Vito was so hot on the show. Here he is now. Hey, Joe.
Yo, what's happening?
Hey, nice to have you back. Joe, I just caught you over the weekend. I saw you in a real old rerun of Law & Order, I think.
Yeah, Law & Order. I did that with Little Carmine, Ray Abruzzo.
Yeah, right. And, That's right. That's right.
Sam. Who else is in that? Anybody else in that?
You're right. Little Carmine was the guy that owned the restaurant
right.
in that episode of Law & Order. And there was a third Sopranos guy that was in that one as well. Either way, Joe, great to have you back. We wanted to ask you, what did you think of the finale?
I loved it.
Why?
I'm a little biased, but I thought it was rich in meaning and detail. And I thought it was a great way to finish an unbelievable television series.
I want to ask you about David Chase. You know, you've worked with the guy. I thought at the end, and I was talking about this yesterday, in the last scene in the ice cream parlor or the, you know, diner, whatever you want to call it, you've got a lot going on there. But is there, if you go back and you look at it again, is there, can you pick up on things? Does David Chase put things in there that we might miss where if you really look closely, not at the people you're supposed to look at, but the behind the scenes player, does he throw in things that that might be little surprises for us?
Well, I have to be honest with you. First of all, I don't know David that well. I mean, I know just how he operates. And like I say, there's always a lot of inside jokes and innuendos and meaningful things in that episode. As far as that last scene, I mean, those people meaning that come in, you know, have meaning with other people, you know, the Cub Scouts at the end, they were in the train store the week before. Was that the brother of a trucker who was killed? I mean, who knows? I think that people think it's like looking at the Beatles cover on Abbey Road, you know, with
right.
Paul McCartney, no shoes, the license plate, 28 if you're alive.
Right.
John Lennon in a white suit.
Then, Joe, I guess the thing that... The thing that I'd like to know is, how do you think it ended? I won't put any of the scenarios out there for you. How do you picture that episode ending?
I think that it was Tony Soprano won the war with New York. He got killed. Does he have to watch it back now? Maybe, like a mobster, he always does. You don't know when you're going to get knocked off. But he was having dinner with his family. The kid AJ was straightening out a little. Meadow was like sort of said that she wanted to know what she wanted to do. She had a boyfriend now, a nice guy.
Are you saying it's a happy ending, Joe?
I would say it's a happy ending.
Whoa!
Oh,
that's interesting.
Not the ones that I like. They cost me $100, but happy ending.
Of course, your character did not have the happiest of endings, did he?
What's that?
Your character didn't exactly have the happy ending. And I guess you were kind of, I mean, it's from a character standpoint, even though you're dead at the end of the show, Vito is dead, I guess Phil got his just desserts there, right?
Yeah, the only problem with that is that the car didn't, the SUV didn't go over slow enough over his head.
You're still in character. That's great.
How did you like the scene after you had been killed off on the show when Vito's son got all goth and was in the shower at school and just
oh that was powerful
took a dump on the floor
Yeah, the kid was rebelling. Yeah. Clearly. You know, he was a troubled kid. I was close to my son.
Hey, Joe, now that it's over, at least the TV show part is over, and for you it was over with Vito and the role, how do you feel? So much of your life now, the big finale's come and gone. People are either mad or they're happy, but they're still talking about it. How do you feel now that it's all over?
Well, you know, for me, the show was life-changing for me. It made me who I am in the career. I'm ready to move on. I'm actually in Pennsylvania doing an independent film. I'm getting ready to get a start date on a Martin Lawrence film. I'm doing an animated movie. And plus, I keep busy with my personal appearances, and people always hire us, you know, for clubs and casinos. I go out later with Big Pussy and Frank Vincent.
Oh, yeah.
I have my book, cookbook novel called A Meal to Die For, my Pool Stick, Cue to Die For, that just came out, and my line of Rocky Patel premium cigars that is coming out in August. So
I love a good
cigar.
Got
it all covered, Joe.
I tell you what, Joe.
I'm everywhere, and I'm doing what I want. My life is good, and I couldn't ask for anything more.
No, seriously, when you look at the body of The Sopranos and the entire time it was on, I'm really not blowing smoke here when I say that the storyline with Vito was really, I think, the last great plot arc. Mm-hmm. I mean, after, it was the last time that The Sopranos really made me do a double take. It was like the thing where your head goes around and around and around.
Ah! We talked to you about that when you were doing that. I mean, it's got to be, it's quite a departure.
There was not a surprise as great.
Yeah, as that, as Vito. Yeah.
You were the last great surprise on The Sopranos.
And was it a decision process? Did it take you? I mean, did they come to you and say, listen, we want to take your character in this direction? I forgot if we asked you that or not. You know,
I'm sure you did. And, you know, that was my idea, and I brought it to them. That's right.
It was your idea.
That's right. That's why we thought you were gay in real life.
Your gate almost went off, but no, it didn't go off.
It was
my idea, and it was from a book I was reading, and I thought it was interesting. Yeah. Something you don't see, and of course, to get myself to do some acting. So I'm glad I made that decision. I'm so happy that they went for it.
We want to thank you for your time. The last thing I would like to ask you, though, Joe, is what kind of response you are getting on the street from people about the last episode. I mean, how do people come up to you, positive or negative? What kind of stuff are you getting from people?
Well, I'm sort of like in a remote area in Pennsylvania. And, you know, if I was in New York, when I was in Philly and I watched with 20 guys, I mean, I could tell you their reaction. But then they saw it to my way of thinking that, you know, the episode before, historically, The Sopranos, the episode before the ending is always a big one.
Right.
And then they usually lose things up. And it was sort of low-key. That was a big hit, Phil. And, you know, with AJ and Meadow, I guess parking the cars a little much. But I think that people were expecting a lot more for this to be the final one. And it wasn't going to be the big shoot-up thing that they wanted. The thing with the cat, he's looking at the picture. Was it Adriana? Did he spell a rat? Did she spell a rat? I mean, these are all great moments. And I loved it.
Well, okay, I'm glad to hear you thought a lot about it. And we're really glad that you came back on to talk with us. So we'll have a link to your website on our website.
Joesup.com. And as usual, you guys are great. And, you know, you're in the D.C. area. My brother's right there. He's a lawyer, immigration lawyer.
Oh.
Rudolph Ganascoli, and constantly plugging.
If you're always plugging, Joe, that's the way to do it.
Come on by, get your ass in here if you come see your brother. We'd love to have you come by.
I would love that, guys, and I certainly will.
Nice talking to you, Joey Soup.
Thanks, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Joey G.
Yeah. Joe Ganascoli.
And I was watching a Law & Order over the weekend that had him, and also that Carmine guy, the guy that the guy that was always trying to broker the stuff between Tony and Phil.
The slick mobster.
Right.
And he's in the very last scene when kind of gets the permission to rub out Phil.
Right, the guy with the big teeth.
You know, I wonder about these guys. Obviously, Joe Ganascoli is one of those guys. Maybe it was Steven Van Zandt in an interview that I saw that was talking about there are some people that will never act again after The Sopranos. But a lot of guys, I think the guy that played Big Pussy and Joe Ganascoli and Frank Vincent, you're going to see more of these guys in movies.
Well, Well, like I said, this guy was in stuff before that, but even in this Law and Order that he was in before The Sopranos, he did play a Goomba.
Right.
I mean, and so did the guy that was Little Carmine. I mean, they both played Goombas, and especially as long as, what's his name, as long as Robert De Niro is making, like, his Analyze This movies, those guys will always have jobs.
I hope so, and, you know, about a year from now, maybe a little less, maybe a little more, we're all going to need our gangster fix, because you know what, that is a slice of American filmmaking and television that we all like to see. We really like to see it, so I hope there's more of it.
All right, so he liked it. So he liked, and he thought it had a happy ending.
Yeah, and I don't know whether he had contact with David Chase or not, but, you know, he did say it is, I really feel that way, that last scene, and especially the last episode of the show, is kind of like a, you know, one of those Beatles albums, where you gotta go back, look at it, pay attention to everything. I swear to God, I thought I saw Phil in Holston's in the last scene. It's a white-haired guy, and it's not an accident that he's in that it's a white-haired guy that's in the background.
Hmm. I watched the whole thing. When was it replayed? Monday night, and I TiVo'd the last couple of seconds to catch the credits.
Right.
Do you remember what the guy said?
Oh, to see that they said that the brother?
I didn't see that.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see that name show up, the name Leotardo.
This is the first time I've heard anyone mention the correlation between Christopher or Adriana being a rat and the cat staring at the picture, and I think that's pretty valid.
That is cool. Very interesting. Yeah. I mean, like, Adriana comes back as a cat?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, she was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, she was.
You know that bad word that meant half her girl?
Oh, it's such an ugly word.
Yeah, very ugly, but kind of neat.
No, I don't mean the C word.
So no, I mean the other word, the P word.
Pussycat.
Uh-huh. Pussycat, I love you.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Big pussy.
I liked, you know, when he...
I always liked him.
When he made that comment about Frank Vincent, you know, the only thing is I wish the car had rolled over his head slower. Do you think that's because they go out and they do all that casino stuff together?
Yeah.
I think
that's
right.
I wish it had run over his head slower. Don't forget to go to my website.
I wish they made that scene as long as they made the scene where Vito was taking it up the rear from that Brokeback Mountain guy.
A similar sound.
Johnny Cakes.
Yeah, now there are two scenes, right, with gay people in The Sopranos. One is when is Vito. No, Vito's the guy he sees when because he was so much bigger because he did lose a lot of weight when his head pops up at the construction site.
Oh, right, when Meadow's boyfriend arrives after an all night binge, and he
good morning.
Right, and he was giving a favor to that security guard.
Yeah, he was doing the security guard.
Yeah,
yeah, baby.
Yeah.
That's why it was always. It was at the wedding when Finn saw Vito, and he said. Such a handsome man.
Oh, that's he was. You know what? I will give Joe Ganascoli credit as that character. We saw that character towards the end. That's what we kind of remember is when he was being chased and he was so conflicted. But early on, he played that kind of predator in a very, very good way. He's a good actor.
And early on, great when he'd be at the construction sites, like in a folding chair, weighing about 500 pounds.
And you remember how he said to the Meadows boyfriend, come to the Yankee game? And isn't that why Meadows boyfriend just packed up and left?
Yeah,
he's
scared.
He was afraid to go to the Yankees game with Vito?
Yeah, predator Vito. Uh-huh. And you know, we didn't get a chance to ask him about the fact, but I was reading this at the bottom. You know, he really did get hip replacement surgery on both of his hips.
Oh, yeah.
That's why he did that little Vito limp thing.
Yeah,
Joe Ganascoli.
All right, thank you, Joe. And now let's, Robbie?
I also read that he's put most of his weight back on.
Oh, really?
Too bad.
He sounded a little tired.
Yeah. How unfortunate.
But he's a good guy.
Thank God.
A friend of ours. You know,
thank God.
Sometimes when we're interviewing guys from The Sopranos, I don't want to say anything bad.
No.
Because, you know,
thank God.
We might get whacked. We don't want that to happen, thank God.
He's a nice guy. Father's son, Holy Spirit. Kiss the hand. Now, Father's Day. Father's Day, baby, is Sunday.
Yeehaw!
Dads and grads and all that crap.
Right.
We're going to play one of our favorite games.
Papa loves Mambo.
What my dad doesn't know won't hurt him.
Can't wait.
Will you call us up for Father's Day and you tell us something that your dad does not know?
That's right. If it's a good enough secret, deep, dark secret that you've kept for a while and you want to get it off your chest, we'll pick you and then you have to call your dad and tell him.
Something about you, something about your family, something that your dad does not know. We'll pick the very best secret. Call the dad up and make you confront your dad and tell him what it is that he doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the thickest and the juiciest, you get $1,000 in cash.
Right.
And you also get tickets and accommodations to go see our buddy Frank Caliendo at the Borgata in Atlantic City on June 22nd.
And who knows, when you're down at the Borgata, maybe you'll bump into Vito or Big Pussy. You could.
Or is it July? When is it? Is it next week?
No, it's June 22nd. It's next week.
June 22nd.
Is it next Friday?
June 22nd?
What day is that, Mike?
Some ass's birthday. That's all I know.
Some ass's birthday. I wasn't going to mention it unless it came up.
Some ass is not getting a big party this year.
June 22nd. I know, because I forfeited that back in September.
Yes, Frank Caliendo at the Borgata in Atlantic City, June 22nd.
Week from Friday.
Yeah. Winner gets tickets, one night hotel accommodations, dinner for two, borgata.com, and $1,000.
This year, I don't want anything. I don't want any big party at all. I don't want, like, a whole big show thing.
No, your wishes are command.
No, please, surprises. Don't do that for
all
me.
All the signs, all of the
please.
Lights.
No, I don't want that. I don't want that.
Good. We will not do it then. So call now, everybody.
Wah.
At 877-365-3636. Remember, the game is what my dad doesn't know won't hurt him.
Yeah. Nothing horrible, thank God.
Yeah. What is the only rule that we have? No,
no adultery.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no, like I was with my sister or something like that.
Although there are exceptions to every rule.
Sure. Extenuating circumstances.
Sometimes that's okay.
I'm trying to think, the last time we played this game, it was fantastic. We had some incredible lie, but we've done it so many times I don't remember.
Anyway, phone number, like I said a million times, 877-365-3636. That sound you hear right now, if everybody's quiet for just a second, you hear what that is? That is the sound of Walmarts across America closing. Because the great unwashed know that we're about to do one of our lying games.
Yeah, and they're going to lie to us. And remember, crap detectors are on today.
What not?
Okay. Dial recklessly, you animals.
Hey, guys, it's just a joke.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I, Frank Dean, would like to formally announce that I am running red lights far too often.
Hi, I'm Mark. I run stop signs and weave in and out of traffic. What do you do?
Remember me? Last weekend? Tailgater.
The first step in changing behavior is admitting you have a problem.
Good morning, class. I'm Mrs. Johnson, and I'm a speeder.
Good morning, Mrs. Johnson, the speeder.
Yeah, I've got 10 years riding hogs and 9 years aggressive driving.
Aggressive driving is a serious problem.
See the guy over there in the blue? That's Margie's husband. He's the kid's coach. He says he's a speeder.
Hi, folks. I'm the doctor on call tonight and a crazy lane changer.
Impressive resume, Mike. I see you're quite an aggressive driver.
It's time to stop driving aggressively. Area law enforcement are targeting aggressive drivers with tickets, fines, and points. Stop or be stopped. The Smooth Operator Program is tough on aggressive drivers.
SmoothOperatorProgram.com.